Sharon Gibson, and I'm talking with Judy Sherry, president of the Missouri, Kansas Grandparents Against Gun Violence and chairperson of the Heartland Coalition. Judy, I'm really glad that you're able to be with us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, just to start out, can you give us a brief idea of how you became involved with the Grandparents Against Gun Violence and then how the Heartland Coalition grew out of that?
Yes, I have always been concerned about gun violence, but shortly after Sandy Hook, I read an article in our paper by Mary Sanchez about a group in Cape Cod that had begun called Grandmothers Against Gun Violence. Mm-hmm. I wrote Mary and asked her to put me in contact with those women, which she did, and we met and talked, and we just decided to start a chapter in Kansas City. We were their first national chapter.
That's great.
And probably their only. So we began in September of 2013. We had 30 people come to an organizing meeting, had no idea how big it would get. We now, 3 years later, have over 500 people in our database.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
As a result of that, as we could see the interest that was going on, we decided to reach out to other organizations in the city who might be concerned with gun violence, maybe not a focus as clearly as ours, but mm-hmm. had an interest in the whole issue of gun violence. Mm-hmm. And we began to build a list and get groups together and decided to put on a community forum in 2014, which we did. We had about 10 co-sponsors at that time, and we did it under the aegis of the Heartland Coalition Against Gun Violence, which continues to function today as a program of Grandparents Against Gun Violence. And we just recently finished our third annual community forum, where we had 38 organizations co-sponsoring us.
You're listening to Radioactive Magazine on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Now, that's amazing that you've grown that much in just really, what, a couple years at that?
3 years.
That's great.
It's amazing, and I must tell you, rather depressing, because it has grown out of the fact that people are so frustrated.
That's true.
That gun violence is such a major issue, mm-hmm. and yet in Missouri and Kansas, we can't get any kind of common sense gun laws passed. And I think people are just very frustrated. As we all like to be with like-minded people, we meet monthly. We have educational meetings mm-hmm. because we're also very committed to having people understand all of the issues surrounding gun violence, the areas of domestic violence or suicide or accidental shootings. So we meet monthly with speakers. And we write letters, yeah. We contact our legislators, we do everything we can to make our voices heard, which is not easy when right. the gun lobby is as powerful right. as we know it to be.
Let me back up just a minute here and get your opinion on something that I'd like to hear you talk about. Based on your involvement that you've had with all these issues, what do you think the correct interpretation is of the Second Amendment, or what have the courts said?
The Second Amendment was, number one, originally, of course, had to do with the militia, and it very clearly talks about a well-regulated militia. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, when the Supreme Court agreed through the Heller decision that phrase should include individuals, people seem to forget that well-regulated remains a very major piece of that amendment. And so our belief is that people certainly have the right to own guns. No, we're not questioning that. We're not against guns. We are against gun violence. But the well-regulated piece is what the gun lobby seems to want us to forget about.
What do you say to people who say that guns don't kill people? People do.
It's absurd. People do all kinds of bad things, but we also have a phrase called means matter. And it is much easier to kill a person with a gun than it is with a sledgehammer or a knife or any other form that somebody might use in an act of anger.
Sure.
You don't have drive-by stabbings. and so it's really kind of a silly argument. The issue in our country is there are just too many guns.
Right. Well, what about those? What about those who think it's primarily like a mental health issue, and that's what we should be focusing on?
Well, again, it's really a red herring. Some people who abuse guns do have mental health issues. There's no question. But we don't even have laws to regulate that. We can't get a law in the state of Missouri that requires background checks so that somebody with a severe mental health issue would be precluded from getting a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are some people who have a mental health issue, but it's also an issue of anger management. It's an issue of people not storing guns properly. It's an issue, basically, of there are just too many guns.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think we have a general idea about the proliferation of guns in our country, but you mentioned Missouri specifically, and I know a lot of people focus on Chicago as an example of how strong gun regulations doesn't affect the level of gun violence. But how do you respond to that?
They have a terrible problem with their inner city and with gun violence. There's no question. We have a problem in our city.
Mm-hmm.
In a particular set of zip codes, we're all aware of that, where guns are used to solve problems, that there are better ways to solve them.
Mm-hmm.
But not having laws having good laws certainly precludes some people from being able to get guns. We know that when the Brady campaign was able to get background checks passed on a national level, the rate of gun violence went way down.
Right.
We know that. They kept 2.5 million people from having access to guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly, some of those people might have used those guns to kill or cause an accidental death or cause their own demise.
Yeah. And I think I've seen information that shows that like Kansas City and particularly St. Louis have actually a higher per capita rate of gun violence than Chicago. And I'm sure there have been some changes in the law in Missouri that might have contributed to that.
Well, the problem with first of all, the Missouri laws now make it so that anybody can carry a gun without a permit, concealed or open. They've lowered the age of who can carry a concealed weapon.
Really?
They have done everything they can to make it very easy to get a gun. But yes, you are correct. Per capita, we are what you quoted is absolutely correct.
And I think you've told me that there in 2007 there was a change in the gun laws that had a negative effect in Missouri too.
Yes, in 2007, the state of Missouri got away from having background checks. They eliminated background checks entirely. And research has been done that showed over the next 6 years after that, those background checks were eliminated, the state's gun homicide rate rose by about 18% and became almost 50% higher than the national average.
Well, that's kind of a potent testimony right there.
There's no question that background checks would keep guns out of the hands of some people who should not have them.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of activities have you kind of alluded to some of the program that the Heartland Coalition have, but what kind of activities has your group been involved in, and what effect do you think that you've had?
Well, we do demonstrate on occasion. we demonstrated last year on the University of Sandy Hook. We mm-hmm. will do it again.
Mm-hmm.
We have marched in some community parades. We've tried to be visible so that people know that there are people around mm-hmm. who are opposed to gun violence. Have we succeeded? I'm sorry to mm-hmm. tell you, no, we really haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Our group, Grandparents Against Gun Violence, is a little bit, we have to be careful because we're a 501c3 organization, and we have to be careful how much advocacy we do and still stay within the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm.
But we urge our members to contact their legislators constantly, locally and on the national level, because we do believe that these things change from the local, it's a grassroots movement.
Okay.
And if our local legislators hear from us over and over again, they hopefully will begin to understand that there are people who will cast their vote based on this issue, and that's what we want them to understand. We are not against guns. We're against gun violence, and we believe that we have to have common-sense gun laws to keep guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them.
And I asked you in an earlier conversation about why no one is demonstrating at the NRA offices, and you had an interesting point of view on that request, on that question. Do you remember?
Do I? Well, their national headquarters is, in fact, in Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah.
But demonstrating to those people is kind of fruitless. You're not going to change their minds. Mm-hmm. If it makes people feel better, that's fine. We have people who like to demonstrate at gun shows. I personally don't believe in that because those aren't the people we're trying to reach. We want to demonstrate in a positive fashion at places where there are many people who can see us and understand what our issue is.
There are also some language issues that I think you called me on one or two of those because I was using the phrase gun control. And there are some language. You're kind of scaling back the rhetoric a little bit, aren't you?
Right. We believe certainly that that's not the total answer, but trying to get away from the gun culture that is so prevalent in our country, we've created a thesaurus that uses that tries to get people to understand that we can substitute phrases. When we say, just shoot me, you can say, I give up. You can say, I jumped the gun. Well, say, I started too early. You say, I have to bite the bullet. Or you can just say, just do it. We have many, many words and phrases that we talk, that we use in our vernacular every single day, and it just reinforces the whole concept of guns and bullets and violence.
Yeah, it's kind of part of it.
We also are big believers, and we don't talk about gun control. We're not trying to control guns. We're trying to control, to regulate gun violence. So we never use the word control.
That made sense when you explained it to me. Now, you mentioned your website. Do you want to give your website address? Or?
Yes, I would be delighted. In fact, we just posted a brand new one yesterday. It's www.mokansgagv.org. That's www.mokansgagv.org.
Okay. I think people might be interested in seeing that list of phrases that you, I found it very interesting, the list
of
phrases.
I hope they will go look at it. It's very interesting, and once you start to think about it, it's just quite amazing how often we use phrases like, I'm going to take a shot at this.
Yeah,
well,
give
it a try. I'm going to shoot you an email. No, just send me one. That's okay.
How much support, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, but how much support is there in the United States for expanded background checks?
Oh, it's huge. That's the thing that is so amazing that shows the power of the gun lobby. There's research that shows that somewhere between 85 and 90% of Americans support background checks, 84% of gun owners, and 74% of NRA members all support background checks. Is just not willing to, they use that phrase slippery slope over and over, and they're not willing to have any kind of regulations that might impede sale of their firearms.
And since Sandy Hook, which was that 2 years ago or three?
It's going to be four this
year. Oh, my goodness. Very little has changed since then.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, I will say there are some states, I can't quote them all, so California has some good gun laws. There are states who have passed some common sense gun laws, mostly relating to background checks. I mean, there are many issues that we could deal with, that, you know, the using assault weapons or having magazines that hold 30 bullets before they, you know, so you never have to reload. But the biggest and most important issue, I believe, on a national level and in our state, have to do with background checks. Let's just try to make sure that the wrong people are not having access to guns.
Okay. Well, you kind of answered my last question, actually. So do you have any statements that you'd like to make to the listeners before we close out here?
Yes, what I would like to say to the listeners is, of course, a plug. We'd love to have you go to our website and sign up to be on our database. We do an email every other week that is filled with information, with helpful articles. We tell people when our next meetings are. I would like to encourage people to take the time to write their legislators. It is feels fruitless, but it really isn't. The more they hear from us and understand that there are many, many of us outside who are eager to have background checks legislation passed, we might be able to make some difference. So I know your listeners are a very bunch of activists, and I would implore them to be active on this issue.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're part of that 70 to 90% you were talking about that favor some kind of regulation.
I am quite sure. Yeah. But, you know, really, Sharon, hardly a week goes by that there is not a letter from somebody, not always from our group, who is opposed to the Wild West world of guns that exists in our country. Yeah. There was one in the paper yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
At least once a week we see it. But a letter to the editor makes us feel good. But what really counts is contacting legislators by email, by phone, by letter, demonstrating outside their office. Now, there's that's a validate.
That's where we should be demonstrating. I see.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, listen, Judy, thank you so much. It's just been a pleasure talking with you. And this is Sharon Gibson and Judy Sherry signing off. The Burial by Sharon Gibson. They are buried every day. Hearts tear, minds shatter. Yet we turn and walk away. Losers in social roulette's decay, where just a wrist flick matters. They are buried every day. Fast death haunts the highways, stalks our schools and theaters. Yet we turn and walk away. Or we shoot before they may and kill our better natures. They are buried every day. Others come as we delay. Say goodbye to sons and daughters as we turn and walk away. God waits and welcomes daily those a nation let be slaughtered. They are buried every day. Yet we turn and walk away. This is Sharon Gibson, and I'm talking with Terrence Williams, supporter of the arts in Kansas City.
That's right.
And founder of Music and More Foundation.
That's right.
Welcome to KKFI, Terrence.
It's good to be here. I love coming to this place.
Good. You know, I know a little about your background, that you're from Kansas City. You
That's
went
right.
to Van Horn High School.
Uh-huh.
And you come from a family of seven brothers and sisters.
That's right.
And now you have a daughter of your own.
That's right. Daciana Wilson.
Okay, good. She's got her name on radio. But tell us what started you on this particular journey that you're on now.
With the poetry or the actual foundation? Well, I started the foundation about 5 years ago, and we issued small grants to public access radio stations, the performing arts, and music organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Our main project for 5 years now is to the local poets.
Mm-hmm.
So we produce poetry events at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art about every 3 months, the Missouri State Capitol twice a year, to honor Malcolm X's birthday and Martin Luther King's birthday. We also have radio shows for platforms for poets. The poets, they host the shows. It's about five different shows. We also do a Poet of the Month. We teamed up with the Dispatch Post USA. I choose a poet to randomly select a poet to be Poet of the Month.
Oh. Yeah. I see. Well, that's kind of neat. And this month, as I recall, is Jose Foss.
Jose
Foss. Who a lot of our listeners will recognize. You've given me a lot of material here to ask you about the poets group that you mentioned. It's called the Bold Poets now.
Yeah. They was called Bold New Poets.
Yeah.
But then a lot of poets kept saying, well, we're not new to this. We're veterans. So I had to change it to Bold Poets of Kansas City.
Now, is that open to all ages, genders, or what are you looking for? You have a particular style? Or
No particular style, no particular age. All the poets that are in this group, up to almost 100, all of them have been in my poetry events. And they're all independent poets. They do their own thing, but when they come together in my events, they become Bold Poets of Kansas City.
What size audiences do you usually attract?
Well, the largest is 300. The smallest maybe 100 or 80, somewhere in there.
Okay, so you're kind of growing as you went along,
yeah,
in terms of audiences.
That's right.
What about How did the thing with going to Jefferson City, how did that come about, and what all does that involve?
This is all Brandon Ellington's thing. He sponsors us. We get about 5 busloads of children, students from different schools that go up there. Like I said, it's to honor Malcolm X's birthday. It's to help usher in the Malcolm X Commission, a bill, and hopefully it passes. It'll become a law where Missouri recognizes Malcolm X's birthday.
Well, that would be something for our listeners to get involved in with.
Yeah. And we go up there every year. We'll probably go up there again in May, probably May 19th, May 15th, somewhere in between there.
And part of what you do now, you're under the umbrella of the, let me see, it's the Kansas City Community Foundation, right?
The Greater Kansas City Community Foundation.
That's and you right. do small grants to support some of the programs that you're talking about.
That's right.
But, and I want to mention this early on because it just blows me away. My understanding is that a lot of what you've done, mm-hmm. like the rent for the Nelson and you did something at the Unicorn, some of that's come out of your own pocket. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. For years now.
How much do you think you've, how much expense?
A lot.
Yeah, I think that's very impressive. So you're dedicated to your programs. But you actually, as I recall, you actually started out in music rather than mm-hmm. poetry. Or
yes, me and Gary Staten, we started Knee Deep Publishing in mm-hmm. 2000. We was dealing mostly with hip hop. Mm-hmm. That's a long story right there. But after we finished dealing with hip hop and publishing hip hop, we transferred and started doing a lot of instrumentals. So now we just publish instrumentals that Gary Staten creates.
Oh, okay. But you're still involved in that.
Yeah, mostly instrumentals, though. Okay. I use all the instrumentals for commercials or things like that. If anybody needs instrumentals for the commercial or whatever, just they get in contact with me and I send a whole list or catalog of instrumentals. They only like a minute and a half.
Yeah. Are you a musician yourself?
No. I'm not a musician.
No, and you're not a poet.
No, I'm not a poet.
You're just a supporter. That's great.
That's right.
That's great. I understand, too, that the bold poets are worldwide now. Is that?
Well, that's the plan. That's the plan. Worldwide on Facebook. But, yeah, that's the plan. There's a guy named Semi Soul. He's down in Durban, Africa. He contacted mm-hmm. me on Facebook, and he was really excited about Bold Poets of Kansas City. And he's followed us for a long time, and he asked about doing the same thing down in Durban, Africa. And he asked me permission if he could use the name, Bold Poets of South Africa. And I said, go ahead, do it. And so that's what he's doing down there.
Well, that makes you worldwide as far as I'm concerned. So you're doing all of these things. You're sponsoring the radio programs, the poetry performances. I think you've got a mentoring program going also.
Yes, 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 yes. This is our third year at the Kaufman Ewing Marion Kaufman School. Every year in September, the last 3 Fridays of that month, I send poets in. They do poetry events. Then that next Friday, I'll send poets in again. Sherry Hall and M. Beyond Payne, send them in to teach the kids, mentor them, get them to writing and things like that. And then that last Friday, the students perform what they've written down.
Another great idea.
Yes, we've been to that school, De La Salle, and Eisenhower Middle School in Kansas.
How could somebody get involved in that if we have any listeners or you think you've got what you need in terms of mentors and that sort of thing?
Well, the first Friday when I send poets in there, I would rather it be a whole lot of poets because that's what the students and the teachers like. That first Friday, just come in, do a small poetry event, and then that next Friday it's when we start teaching the kids and getting them more interested. So that first Friday in September of next year, I welcome a lot of poets to get in touch with me, and we can get them in there.
Now, how do they get in touch with you?
816-612-7640.
Maybe you ought to say that one more time.
816-612-7640. Terrence Williams, Music and More Foundation.
Okay. So you've got all these things going on. Tell me what... Do you have a particular cultural goal, something you're trying to accomplish in doing these things? What inspires you?
Well, my main goal is to get Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts.
Yeah,
I always wanted to do an event there. We also sponsor a chair in the Muriel Kauffman, the auditorium over there, 1,800 seats.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's row D.
Oh.
Chair 302. If you look at that chair, you'll see a plaque there, and it says, I can't remember what it says.
Makes some reference to Music and More.
Yeah, it makes a reference to Music and More Foundation. Okay. Then it says, relax and enjoy the show. That's what it says.
So you've got one chair.
We got one chair there.
$1,799 to go.
Yeah, that's right.
Great. Okay. Well, what about, now you told me when we talked earlier about a particular goal that you have in mind for, you have offices there at 3130 Troost.
We have about two offices.
Okay. And you have a particular goal in mind. I think you mentioned it as sort of a legacy.
Well, at the Music and More Foundation, we try to do everything poetry. When we do the Poet of the Month, I take that paper every month to Hooks Framing Company off in Westport. Take it there, have it framed. So far, I got six of those Poets of the Month on the wall. We're going to start doing small poetry events there also. So I want the building there to be just like the Black Archives of Mid-America.
There you go.
I want to be able to archive everything poetry here in Kansas City.
Okay.
When people think of poetry, I want them to come there to see the pictures on the wall, to see the videos playing on the TV. I want the Music and More Foundation's building to be just like the Black Archives, where we archive everything poetry.
Well, you think big, don't you?
I try.
Well, you've accomplished quite a bit so far. So how can your listeners, how can our listeners, your listeners, help you develop your dreams of furthering the arts in Kansas City? What can they do?
Just come out to the events.
Yeah.
Just come out to the events. Well, all of my events are free to the public. But we also ask to, just like KKFI, donate. We do fundraisers, just like KKFI. And we both ask for your support.
Right. And you have a website where
yes.
you can donate. What
we
is
got a
that
website? www.themusicandmorefoundation.com.
Okay. They should be able to remember that, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have any events coming up that they should know about in the near future?
My next event probably be next year in April. And April is Poetry Month. So sometime in April, probably the first or second week at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. It's going to be free to the public. It'll probably start at around 6 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah. We'll look out for that.
Yay.
Now, you have a way that you like to close your programs.
I do.
Yes.
Yeah, every time I do a poetry event, at the very end, I always do Psalms 133. And it's simply saying that it's good to have everybody here. There's no conflict. There's no problems. Y'all just came and y'all enjoyed. And it goes, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren and sisters to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. It was there where the Lord commanded his blessings and life evermore. And then I end it. And I say, thank you for coming.
That's good. Well, and Terrence, thank you for coming, and thank you for being you, because
you're
unique.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay, this is Sharon Gibson and Terrence Williams signing off.